And now, from Greater Santon and beyond, get ready for the Santon Times Hour
with your host,
Alexander.
Well, there we are again, ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between and beyond. This is the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and is always available on all good podcast platforms. I'm your host, Alexander Leipner, and this is edition 131. It's week 37 of 2023, and September is well here. Oh, don't you enjoy the warmer months? Thank you very much. I'm excited to be with you again. And if you would like to send through your questions, your comments, your feedback, your input, please do so. Email editor@santontimes.co.za. Connect on social media @santontimes and also visit the website www.santontimes.co.za. And of course, if you're listening live on Mix 93.8 and not at a later stage, you can use the WhatsApp line and send through your thoughts on 084-822-0938. 084-822-0938. A very special welcome to you if you're up on the Highveld, Johannesburg, Pretoria, Vereeniging, Gauteng in general. Then, of course, if you are anywhere in the world, you're also welcome to the show. If you're listening online, on air, wherever you are, I'm happy to report that all is well in Santonland. Another interesting week in Santon, mind you, and I'm joined once more by my man behind the mixing desk, Vincenzo. And, big day in the United States as they mark 22 years since the attack on the World Trade Center in New York City. 22 years. Where were you? It's one of those days that we all remember. And I know it's probably been discussed ad nauseum every single year, but I remember I was actually having a conducting lesson. So at one point, I was actually still in school. I think I was actually in matric. I had signed up to learn how to conduct an orchestra. And I'd just come back from my conducting lessons, from conducting an orchestra, and everybody, I was at boarding school, and everyone was in the, what we then called the television room. So this was, there was like a room dedicated to watching television. And I thought everyone was watching a movie. It looked like an American action thriller movie. And I must have walked in just as the second aircraft hit the World Trade Center. It was just unbelievable. I mean, we'd never seen anything like that before. I think we were glued to that television for the next 24 to 48 hours. I mean, you remember it well if you were there. It'd be interesting to get some of your feedback and thoughts on that. Then also, it's been a exciting and interesting Rugby World Cup start this past weekend. And now that things have kicked off, love to see what your thoughts are on the World Cup. Who's going to come out on top? Are the Springboks going to make it happen? Who knows? Fingers crossed. Coming up on this week's show, it's a company that has been pioneering in its production, and I chat to the third generation CEO as they mark a major milestone. Then, have you ever heard of psychedelic assisted therapy? Well, a new wellness center in Santon is offering a whole new approach to treating mental illness, so stay tuned for that. After that, one of Santon's biggest music events is about to return with another incredible lineup of artists. More details to come. And finally, South Africa has a 12th official language, and I'll be chatting or signing a bit more about this. All of this coming up shortly. Let's get the week going with some Hadaway and What Is Love on the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8.
Promote your brand. Advertise your business.
Our audience could be your next client. Contact the Santon Times today. The best of talk and music in 1 hour. This is the Santon Times Hour.
This is the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and also available on all good podcast platforms wherever you are in the world. And as we kick off this week's hour, I'm thrilled to be joined by another business leader, CEO of one of South Africa's probably most well-known manufacturing concerns. And you've probably come across their product somewhere in your lifetime if you've broken something, if you've needed to stick something back together again. This product has got some remarkable stories. It's got a remarkable pedigree. And he is the CEO of Prattley. His name is Andrew Prattley. And Andrew, it's such a great opportunity to chat to you on the Santon Times Hour.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
Well, as we kick things off, I mean, the reason for us chatting today is that you are celebrating the 75th anniversary of the business. And can you sort of share the journey of the company over the years and some of the key milestones that you guys have had in a very unique and a very interesting kind of business?
Yeah, so 75 years, it feels like our 70th was just the other day. And in a way, I think it was, but so much has happened in between that. And, Yeah, so the company was started by my grandfather, George Monty Bradley, back in 1948. And he was an engineer by trade. He went off to England and he fought in the Second World War. And when he came back, he started up Bradley. It was initially started in Hillbrow and sort of doing jobbing work for the mines back then. And then it started growing upon itself. And he was a very entrepreneurial person. He would sort of he had a never say die attitude. He started developing some products for the mines and got into electrical termination equipment. And one of the products was an electrical junction box. What he wanted to do at the time is he wanted to find something which would adhere as well as insulate the electrical termination or the terminals inside the junction box. And then it was where sort of Prattly Patty started coming into the mix, where he started looking at epoxy type of things to stick these terminals down. And that was the birth of Prattly Patty. So the two divisions of the company are very interrelated. And the adhesive side grew on that, and that's sort of the early history of it.
You stuck with it, as one would say,
We stuck with it, and we still are.
yeah? Well, that's great. And I mean, I remember such legendary stories about Prattly Patty and obviously the adhesives business. Something along the lines of that that it was one of the few, if the only, South African product that ended up going to the moon. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's quite an interesting story that, and it actually kind of ended up happening a little bit by accident, really. In the sort of the mid 1960s, the Americans were firing probes, if you have it, into the moon, and one of the missions or series of missions was called the Ranger mission. Now, at the time, we had a company in America who was wanting to produce Prattly Patty from us under license. But the operations weren't 100% up and running yet, but their salespeople went to the American Space Agency and sold them on the idea of using Prattly Patty. They then came back to us and said, "Well, we've sold them on the idea, but we can't produce it yet because none of our manufacturing facilities up and running." So we ended up actually sending them some of the products from our head office here in Krugersdorp, and the rest is history. And it ended up going on one of the Ranger missions to the moon. We're not sure on the exact date, but it was around the mid 1960s.
Incredible. Well ahead of Elon Musk. I think that's something that is worth boasting about, and I think it's such a great
Yeah,
story.
yeah. And I mean, the funny thing is actually back in the day is that the Americans also, it was very much during the apartheid era, and it was also the Americans also had a policy of only using American products. So it was actually sort of a little bit by accident that it ended up happening.
And I mean, most people probably know you for, I suppose, what people would generically call sort of like a super adhesive or a glue. They probably know you for the Prattly Patty, but you guys do a whole range of different products now, surely.
Yeah, we do. In fact, these days, I think we produce in excess of 2,000 products. What most people know us for is generally what they see on the shelf, which is our adhesive range of products. But we actually, these days, have three separate divisions in the company, only one of which is our adhesive range, but we also have an electrical and a mineral side to the business as well. Which, especially our electrical side, is actually one of our larger divisions.
Yeah. I mean, you're now the third generation in the family. Your late father, who passed on in 2021, and I had the pleasure of meeting him, and we had some great chats about some of the stuff that you guys have done at Prattly. But you're now at the helm of taking this business forward. What are some of your ideas, some of your plans with the business? I mean, it's not the most of easiest of times to keep a business going with load shedding and a whole bunch of other challenges around the world. But where is your mind at the moment?
Yeah, certainly the environment, you know, I think even in the last 3 years since my father passed away, has changed significantly. Fundamentally, at the end of the day, I think the company's been, you know, in 75 years, I hate to use the words we've seen it all, but we certainly have been through many ups and downs through the years. So we're very well equipped going forward, and also relying on the generations that have come before us to answer those questions, because the world, you know, you go through hard economic times, but those times are never, they never set in stone, and the good times always do come back again. So fundamentally, as far as our policies go and the style in which we run the company and our sort of ethos doesn't change. And it's held us in good stead over the years. It's a good recipe. For example, you know, during the bad times, having debt is probably not the best thing to have. So we've always had a policy, for example, of having zero debt. And that's a policy that we will continue to have. So, you know, it's those fundamental policies that you lean on during these times, which you carry forward as a third generation. My brother and myself are not here to reinvent the wheel. Obviously, we do need to adapt quite quickly to the things that come about, but having our independence also helps with that. You know, if we wake up tomorrow morning and we decide, you know, we want to produce rocket engines, for example, we can do that because we don't really have other shareholders to report to. So we're very lucky, and I think we're very well equipped and agile enough to take us forward in sort of more challenging times.
Absolutely. And Andrew, I suppose you're one of those businesses as well, is that if everything breaks apart, you're one of those few businesses that can glue it back together again. And I think that'll hold you in good stead.
Certainly, yeah. Well, if we can't glue it back together, I don't know if anyone can. So, yeah, we've got a lot of sort of new and exciting products coming up as well. So, yeah, watch this space.
I think that's a great place to leave it at. Andrew Prattley, CEO of Prattley. And as I said, you probably know them from some of their super adhesives that you can get at probably every single hardware store and even supermarket. And yeah, it's a South African institution, a South African product, and it's gone around the world, and it's even gone beyond the world. So there you have it. Thank you so much for joining me on the Sandton Times Hour. Quick break, and more of the Sandton Times Hour right after this.
Follow the Sandton Times on social media.
At Sandton Times.
This is the Sandton Times on Mix 93.8 and available on all good podcast platforms. And came across this interesting story a couple of days ago. And it's a new wellness center that opened towards the end of last year. But they're now offering a whole bunch of new services. And I thought, let's get these two doctors on to talk about this. It's called Equanimity Wellness. It's a psychedelic assisted therapy facility. And they've launched a holistic science-based wellness center. And here to chat to me about this is Dr. Anthony Townsend and Dr. Brad Cullenbach, who are the co-founders and clinical psychologists spearheading this groundbreaking venture. And it's great to have you on. And I do a lot of talks on the future. I speak to a lot of corporates about trends. And one of the big trends that started coming up over the last 2 to 3 years is things like microdosing, using psychedelics to treat a lot of stress, anxiety. And it's probably gotten worse now over the last couple of years and coming out of a pandemic. But doctors, if you want to maybe just take me through what a psychedelic assisted therapy facility is, Dr. Anthony.
A psychedelic assisted therapy center is really a science-based center intended to promote somebody's wellness. The unique offering, as the name would suggest, is that we utilize psychedelics, which are essentially compounds that are, as Dr. Humphrey Osmond likes to tell us, mind manifesting. They're unique molecules that help the unconscious mind spring forward and allow you not only to understand deeper emotions, deeper thoughts and insights, but also adopt radical new perspectives. We find that when you pair these kinds of molecules with the best behavioral change tools that therapy has to offer, you get a rather potent remedy to be able to tackle a whole range of conditions ranging from OCD, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression and anxiety, to just managing general stress and even improving your relationships.
So in layman's terms, is this almost an evolution like we've seen with the likes of cannabis, where initially it was considered to be a taboo subject? If you were using cannabis in any way, you were, you know, a hippie or a stoner or something like that. And now we found ways to kind of medicinalize it, or it's probably, some people might even argue it's been a medicine, you know, ever since we've known it, but kind of almost mainstream it and find specific elements or specific strains of that particular natural product that comes through these sort of plants. I know with psychedelics it's normally mushrooms or something along those lines, and you can correct me, that we can now isolate these and use them quite strategically and quite medically to treat certain conditions.
Very much so. As many have likened it, you can almost think of psychedelics to psychology what the discovery of the telescope was to astronomy, or to the microscope for biology. We now get to actually synthesize these chemicals and use them in pinpoint specific ways to help make more sense of people and really calibrate the doses according to what people would really need. So they have become much more controlled, and far from being dosed into sugar cubes, they now actually get couched within safe medical settings.
Now, part of this process is also the fact that this is happening in a controlled environment. So you often hear people talking about ayahuasca ceremonies happening in the middle of a forest somewhere, and people go through this sort of traumatic or very emotionally driven experience, and don't know if they're coming or going, and 3 days later they kind of tell stories of crying and laughing and all kinds of things. This is a little bit different. This is a little bit more sort of controlled, scientific, guided through that quite intense process, as far as I understand it.
That's absolutely right, Alex. Institutions like Harvard, Yale, Oxford, Johns Hopkins set out to adumbrate a framework that would hold and ground and contain this experience and essentially allow people to get the absolute most benefit from the experience in the safest way possible. And the framework consists of three parts: careful screening and preparation, a psychedelic journey or ceremony, as it's sometimes called, and rigorous and ongoing integration or follow-up therapy. Under these conditions, we find that people can experience these medicines safely, they can derive the most benefit from them, and adverse reactions are reduced. And in our center, we've couched our entire program within this three-part framework. So there is very, very thorough screening and preparation where we're ruling out certain contraindications. We're preparing people for the medicine journey, cognitively, emotionally, and physiologically. The medicine journey is conducted in a setting where we've paid very careful attention to the aesthetics, the kinds of organic, natural aesthetics that allow one to have a comfortable and safe experience. And we've developed an extremely rigorous and thought-out integration framework or follow-up therapy framework where we allow people to really translate the benefits from the journey into some kind of meaningful and lasting behavior change.
Sure. Well, look, I'm keen to hear a little bit more about this. We're going to take a quick break because at the bottom of the hour, quick musical break. I'm going to stay with the doctors. I'm going to chat a little bit more right after this.
More. The Santon Times Hour continues.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 with Martin Jensen and One Day. My name is Alexander Leipner, and you know how this works. If there's anything that you heard on the show, but you didn't get all the information, you didn't catch the name, the contact details, we're going to put all of that information up on the website, santontimes.co.za. You can go onto the website in your own time during the week or after the show and just follow up on those conversations and see if there's some information there that you wanted to have but didn't manage to jot it down. Also, check out the social media accounts at Santon Times, and you can also use the hashtag Santon Times Hour. And also, you know, get in touch, reach out, share your feedback and your inputs. I'm in conversation with Dr. Anthony Townsend and Dr. Brad Cullenbach just before the break. They are the co-founders and clinical psychologists spearheading Equanimity Wellness. It's a center in Santon, and it's a psychedelic-assisted therapy facility which has launched a holistic science-based wellness center. We were chatting about psychedelics and how these are used to treat certain conditions, and I'm going to pick up on this conversation because I'd like to hear from you, doctors. What have been some of the results that people have gotten from this? Sort of what have they come in with? And through this psychedelic treatment, what are some of the results that they've managed to get from this?
Fortunately, Alex, the results have been largely astounding, and this is very much in line with what we've noticed from the international literature. To give some context, the predominant agent we use at our center is a pseudo-psychedelic called ketamine. In high doses, it's an anesthetic. In low doses, it's more of a dissociative psychedelic. So it gives out-of-body experiences and allows you to alter your consciousness in ways that induce the ability to process emotions differently. And the profound effect that we've noticed with something like ketamine is that someone could come in suicidally depressed, and within the short space of time, within 40 minutes, they could come out no longer feeling suicidal. Now, I realize that might sound like science fiction, but genuinely, we have seen rapid and powerful relief from overwhelming symptoms of depression, anxiety, and PTSD in short spaces of time. Now, the work of the medicine is that it will make you well very quickly. The reason Brad and I have been so conscientious to develop a therapeutic framework of the nature that we have is because while the medicine will make you well, the effects could wear off. Therefore, when you add in therapy, that will keep you well by making the necessary changes to keep that good thing going.
Right. Okay. So it's a bit like going onto a diet. So the initial exercise will get you into shape, but the diet will keep you on track and not putting on any weight. Have I got that about right?
Absolutely, something like that.
Okay, I'm with you. All right. What inspired this idea?
Well, Alex, just pre-COVID and in the immediate aftermath of the initial bout of COVID, Anthony and I had been exploring the possibility of running psychedelic-assisted therapy retreats overseas in legal geographies. And as it happened, we ran some of these retreats and we had astonishing outcomes. And this is where we really cut our teeth and refined and honed our therapeutic framework. However, we realized that it's simply not practical for South Africans to travel overseas, to take 10 days off work, to pay that kind of money, to get this kind of treatment. And so we wanted to find a way to make this viable for South Africans. And this was really the genesis and the birth of the Equanimity Wellness Center, where we found a way to give people access to this experience in a way that is financially manageable, it doesn't disrupt their routine, and it's just simply more practical. And this was really the inspiration for how Equanimity came to be.
Right, right. Well, briefly though, I mean, it's not just about psychedelic therapy. The Wellness Center also does offer other things as well. And what are those?
Fortunately, in addition to the psychedelic assisted therapy, we also offer the traditional forms of psychotherapy. We also have a wide multidisciplinary team, including doctors, physiotherapists, life coaches, sexologists, aestheticians, and even yoga practitioners, breathwork practitioners, and people who help with one of Brad's favorite offerings, cold exposure.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and that's very popular at the moment. That's when you sort of dip yourself into an ice bath and count to 10 and hope that you're going to get out on the other side.
That's absolutely right, Alex. There's profound physiological and psychological benefits to the practice, not least of which is giving people an opportunity to learn how to get comfortable in a space of stress. So leaning into a state of voluntary arousal, a state of voluntarily induced anxiety, learning to find the breath and to become mindful and to center oneself. This is an amazing skill to learn in life and for the benefits of a psychedelic journey itself. Interestingly, neuroimaging of people undergoing these other modalities like meditation, yoga, breathwork, cold exposure, the brain tends to look rather similar to the way the mind looks in a psychedelic experience because there's a tempering of the same networks in the brain that allows for other connections to form. And we're often quite fond of quoting a neuroscientist named Sam Harris in this regard. He states that practices like mindfulness in meditation and breathwork and psychedelics get you to the same place. It's just that psychedelics are like strapping yourself to a rocket, whereas meditation and breathwork and cold exposure is kind of like setting a sail.
I'm with you. Okay, well, there you go. If you want to experience a whole range of different feelings and also just sort of delve a little bit deeper into the psyche and maybe even treat some things that you've been dealing with, well, there you have it, Equanimity Wellness. Dr. Anthony Townsend and Dr. Brad Cullenbach, the co-founders and clinical psychologists behind that. I thank you for making the time to be with me on the Sandton Times Hour.
Online, on air,
anywhere, anytime.
This is the Santon Times Hour.
Well, a popular event that has come back to Santon time and time again is the Standard Bank Joy of Jazz. And in 2023, it will be no different, as this event with some of the hottest tickets in town returns to the heart of Santon. And here to chat to me about this is Ziggy Molusi. He's the head of marketing and strategy at the Standard Bank Joy of Jazz. And Ziggy, how are preparations going for this mega event?
Alex, thank you so much for having us. So far, I can say we're very much excited that post-COVID, you know, we have an opportunity to present one of the magnificent concerts around town, which is the annual Standard Bank Joy of Jazz. And I think, again, rightfully so, our home being the Santon Convention Center, a venue that really continues to work wonders for us in terms of welcoming us. And to your question, preparations going very well, obviously built up, you know, made up of a couple of events that, we are lining up, eventually, you know, leading to the big dates, which is going to be the weekend of the 29th and 30th of September.
As I said in the beginning, it's one of those events where tickets go quickly. People flock to the Santon Convention Center to experience an array of both local, Pan-African and international artists. And Ziggy, maybe you can take us through some of the talent that you're expecting to be performing at the Standard Bank Joy of Jazz this year.
Look, always a difficult, exercise to go through in terms of curating, you know, artists, for the year. Particularly because, you know, those that have performed on this big stage are always looking forward to an opportunity to come back again, you know. With our rotational kind of plan that we have, you know, we always believe that there's a whole lot of talent in South Africa, who have got to be given, an opportunity. I wouldn't necessarily call any names in order of importance, except to say, like you rightfully say, it's a nice balanced mixture, which again, an opportunity for the artists to bring their craft, to their, fans. It's quite exciting for us is the opportunity that, we have to expose, our followers to, Andreas Vollenweider.
Yes.
Who, most of your listeners will know very well. I mean, for over 3 to 4 decades, his music, has really resonated well with, with South African audiences. Locally, you look at artists like Simpiwe Dana, she continues, to be a major, female artist in terms of, her repertoire. For the younger generation, we have made sure that, artists such as Buhle Bendalo, who is part of, the soil, and, an artist such as Langa Mavuso, Zoe Mudiha, young up and coming, musicians who continue as well, to make a good impression in as far as, their craft is concerned. And how about, artists such as Mekoe Mkhubata, Billy Monama, those are just few of the artists that your listeners can look forward to for this year.
Well, you'll probably find that there's such a rich talent base in South Africa and also just across the border that it's probably almost unnecessary to sometimes bring in international artists to elevate it even more. But it is great to see that you are constantly exposing audiences to new names. And I mean, I must be quite honest, when I saw Andreas Vollenweider on the Swiss Harpist, I think the first time I heard him was I was 5. And I probably saw it on some German television program. And it's unbelievable that, he's been going for such a long time and still strikes a chord with so many audiences across the world.
Well, let's look at it this way, Alex. you know, South Africa being part of the global stage now. I mean, our country, irrespective of at times, you know, the socio-political issues that we want to think about, but it's a great country. You know, most of these guys are always looking forward to coming back to the shores and experiencing whatever that, you know, the country has got to offer. And to a large extent, Alex, you know, what really humbles us as a team is the fact that these are the artists that go back to become ambassadors, you know, of our culture and our music, including, you know, the great things that the country, you know, has got to offer. And having the privilege of seeing an artist like Andres Valenveda coming back to our shores, you know, from Europe, it really augurs well, you know, for everything that we are trying to do in as far as making, you know, the country, you know, the spotlight to shine on it again, like I say, respective for other things. And look, I mean, his repertoire, you know, over the years, music that has really, again, been good for the heart, the mind, you know, and the soul. And what a perfect opportunity, you know, to give our, you know, patrons an opportunity. Over and above, Alex, let's face it, you and me. Right now, you know, with the rent, the currency exchange, where it's standing, very difficult that even if you wish to travel abroad to go and experience some of these huge international festivals, you know, that you can afford it. And I think, you know, a very important strategic role and a gap that we are filling by bringing these artists into the country, it just is. Just makes it so easier, you know, for the thousands and thousands of music followers, you know, from all over the country to be able to see these guys, you know, perform live. And it is for that reason that let me take this opportunity to encourage, you know, your listeners on all your different platforms, including your, you know, social media platforms to say, you know, go get your cousins, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your mommies, your daddies to come through, you know, and enjoy this festival. It's really one of the major international festivals that you find, you know, we've been hosting, you know, for the last 24 years in South Africa. And anybody who hasn't really experienced the great atmosphere, you know, that the festival gives has really lost out. And like you say, time is still there. Please go out and get your tickets. They are really selling, you know, fast like hotcakes. You know, go get your tickets and be part and parcel of this great lineup.
Well, it's certainly a good message that, and I was actually chatting to a concert organizer not too long ago who was telling me how people are coming from Europe to book concerts that they would try and see in Europe, which probably costs a small fortune. And they actually come to South Africa and make a holiday out of it, go on safari, watch the concert and get to see artists that they wouldn't be able to see in their own backyard. Would it not be for the opportunity to come to South Africa? That was Zikki Malusi, Head of Marketing and Strategy at the Standard Bank Joy of Jazz. All the information will be up and is already up on the sandtontimes.co.za if you want to get some more information around tickets. We're going to take a quick musical break and we'll be right back after this.
Online, on air,
anywhere, anytime.
This is the Sandton Times Hour.
This is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good podcast platforms. And that was Would I Lie to You by Cedric Gervais, Chris Willis, and David Guetta. Now, this next segment, as we are close to the end of the hour this week, would be very difficult if you were deaf. Or if I was doing this entire segment in sign language. But sign language has been adopted as the country's 12th official language by the National Assembly of late. And I don't know if you know this, but more than 4 million people in South Africa are deaf or hard of hearing and rely on sign language to communicate. And here to chat to me is a lady called Keta Mbata. She signs in isiZulu, and you would have seen her on channels like Newsroom Africa doing what she does, but she does it also on TV and also offline as well. And Keta, it's great to have you on the Sandton Times Hour.
Thank you so much for having me, Alex.
So Keta, what does this mean to someone like you who does this as a profession, who is embedded in the sign language community, having this language being recognized as a 12th national language in South Africa?
How much time do we have? I'm joking. Okay, so for me, I feel like the importance of having sign language as an official language, it lies in providing recognition legal protection to the deaf community, as well as increasing the accessibility and inclusivity in society. So, I mean, as we know, the world is becoming increasingly inclusive in everything. So, I mean, I feel deaf community shouldn't be left out. Having sign language official, it also can help with the breakdown on communication barriers that deaf people experience every day. And also it will help assist deaf individuals to fully participate in various aspects in our society, such as education, they can go to get employment, and also any political engagement or any form of engagement that they want to participate in, it will allow them to participate fully, just like any other person.
Look, I have a huge fondness for the sign language community, and especially the deaf community. I think it's quite an expressive language, because obviously you use a lot of your body to, you know, sign and to communicate, and it's quite fascinating to watch people communicate in sign language. And it's also a bit of a tragedy up until this point, because I think children, especially youth, who are born into a world without sound, it's not that you are disabled in any way. It's probably the wrong term to use. But the fact is that schools and universities are not geared to communicate or to teach in sign language, unless you're prepared to pay, I suppose, a significant amount of money to go to a private school that is specialized in that. And through that process, those kids are then left behind in the schooling system, and then also carrying on to study. And if you're thinking that there's 4 million South Africans who are probably very able to do a lot of different things, and I've seen companies like Woolworths who started bringing in cashiers who sign or are deaf, more than capable to work in the workforce, it's just been a series of structural or societal setbacks that have not allowed them to flourish and to be part of society.
Yes, definitely. I mean, when we think back, we have a lot of deaf schools. But back maybe a few years ago, not only a few years ago, we started having teachers who are actually capable of teaching deaf learners. We go to schools where you have a teacher who's been there 7 years. Some teachers don't even know how to sign. Mm. So what the department used to do back in the days, they would hire a teacher who has a qualification in teaching, but do not have the language to teach the deaf learners in school. Mm. So it ends up, it impacts deaf people in a negative way. So we do now have universities that are teaching sign language as a degree. I, for one, went to University of the Free State. I now work for University of Witwatersrand. We have sign language as a degree, and also DUT also has sign language. You can actually learn it.
Okay. You know, quite interesting now, I'm hoping that with the country now recognizing sign language as a 12th language, it'll hopefully start breaking down these barriers and start integrating it more and more into things like universities, schools, etc. Now, you obviously do this professionally, you do this in different platforms, but one of the big elements of sign language is that you have to be able to see it. So there's obviously limitations with the structures like radio and these sort of platforms where sign language isn't possible.
Definitely. You know, for hearing people, we have what we call incidental learning. While you are washing your dishes and the radio is playing, so you're picking up on information, you're picking up on what is happening around the world, and like the pandemic, everything that is happening, you can just learn. You're not really focusing on that, but you hear people talking in a taxi, you are learning. But then for deaf people, everything needs to be taught.
Yeah,
because they don't have they don't have the luxury of incidental learning.
Very interesting, and very interesting observation that. Now that we've got South Africa adopting sign language as the 12th language, I suppose for people who are not familiar with sign language, they would say, well, sign language is sign language if you're in Tokyo, Japan, or if you're in New York in the United States. It's all the same thing. Is it all the same thing, or are we going to have a very South African sign language that is different to somewhere else in the world?
Yeah, each country has their own sign language. We have American, we have South African, German, Nigerian, Kenyan. Each and every country has their own sign language. Like, for an example, in South Africa, a sign for toilets. In America, it's a sign for name.
Oh, gosh.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So we all have our own. And also people, most people believe that sign language has, you have isiZulu sign language, English sign language, Afrikaans sign language. That is not true. It's one sign. If I say a table, I'll sign the table the same way I'll say the word tafel or itafula. So it doesn't change with languages in South Africa, like all over, actually. It will be just the one sign for whatever language that you're speaking.
Incredible. And I mean, I suppose life has gotten a little bit easier now. I've seen that a lot of more programming is now also including subtitles on a lot of programming for completely different reasons. It's got something to do with the way audio is recorded in movies and in television compared to 50 or 70 years ago. But those things must also be able to assist those who cannot hear the dialogue, at least they are able to follow it and read it.
Yes, definitely. But again, we should also remember what I said before with the education for deaf individuals. Not everyone is able to read and understand what is being read, what is like the English language. Not everybody understands. So, and also subtitles are very quick. Because people speak faster. So then it means they have to sit in front of the TV. Not everybody, again, has the luxury of a bigger TV. That is why you always advocate for a bigger box for a language interpreter and also to have the subtitles larger and, you know. So, but it really, really helps. It helps definitely in the deaf community, yeah.
Well, Keta Mbata, she is a sign language interpreter. She signs in isiZulu on Newsroom Africa. I'm sure you've seen her on the channel before. She's certainly, I think, going to be a hell of a lot busier now that the language has been adopted as South Africa's 12th South African language. And Keta, it's been great having you on the Sandton Times Hour.
Thank you so much, Alex, for having me.
And that's it for the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and as always available on all good podcast platforms wherever you are in the world. If you want to get in touch, you can email editor@sandtontimes.co.za or connect on social media @SandtonTimes or visit the website www.sandtontimes.co.za and feel free to send through your questions or comments, feedback, input. You can do that on any of those channels. And then also, thank you to my guests who made the time to be on the show this week. And Vincenzo? That's my sign language attempt at saying thank you to you. I don't know, it's a bit rusty, but we'll work on it. And thank you to the Sandton Times team as well as everyone else at Mix 93.8. And of course to you, those who tune in every single week, who subscribe to the podcasts, thank you for listening, and let's connect again next week.
That's it for this week.
Thanks for listening to the Sandton Times Hour. And if you enjoyed it, be sure to share it.